This is Brian Cambria with the KVNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, November 19th, 2013. Federal and state authorities with the Mine Safety and Health Administration are beginning their investigation into the accident at the Revenue Virginius mine near Ouray that killed two miners and injured 20 others. Meanwhile, new details are emerging about the two men who were killed after inhaling high levels of carbon monoxide released in the mine. 33-year-old Nick Capano entered the mine at some point between Saturday night and Sunday morning. When he failed to return, his shift foreman, Rick Williams, went in to find him. Both men were overcome by the harmful gases. As the Denver Post reports, Capano had only been at the job about 2 weeks, having recently relocated from Rifle, where he was working an oil field job. Williams was a U.S. Air Force veteran with two grandchildren who had spent most of his life in the San Juan Mountains. Rory Williams, manager for Star Mine Operations, the company that runs the mine, said at a press conference on Sunday night it appeared that an intentional explosion might have triggered the release of the harmful gases.
I believe a blast was involved, which did create some gases, which potentially the miners did inhale and caused their subsequent collapse.
Williams added, such blasts are a common mining practice used alongside drilling to open up rock for extracting minerals. However, he said it's still not entirely clear where the carbon monoxide came from. That question is now in the hands of Mining Safety and Health Administration authorities as they take over the investigation of the accident. As of yesterday afternoon, all of the 20 miners that had been sickened from the gases after trying to recover Williams and Capano had been treated and released from area hospitals. MSHA spokeswoman Amy Luvieri told KVNF authorities will begin their investigation as soon as they can confirm the mine has been properly ventilated and that the mine is safe to reenter. The mine is a silver, lead, zinc, copper, and gold mine that dates back to 1876. Star Mining acquired a permit to operate the mine in February of this year, and the mine was last inspected in September. All operations at the mine are being put on hold until the MSHA investigation is finished. Governor John Hickenlooper is proposing new statewide air quality rules for oil and gas drilling that he says will be groundbreaking. The proposal has widespread support, but as Benta Berkland reports, some members of the environmental community say the governor is pushing new rules for purely political reasons.
The state's top health official says the new rules would reduce methane emissions by as much as 92,000 tons per year. That's roughly equivalent to taking every car in Colorado off the road for a year. Governor Hickenlooper says it will mean the most rigorous rules in the country.
How can we make sure we get to the cleanest possible outcomes in terms of air quality? At the same time, recognize that we've got businesses here that employ our citizens and are helping solve the energy challenges that we face as a country.
The governor's office worked with oil companies Anadarko, Noble Energy, Encana, and the Environmental Defense Fund to create the rules. But other environmentalists aren't on board, including Sam Schaubacher with Food and Water Watch.
The governor comes forward and basically offers up exactly what the industry wants. It's a very weak rule. They herald it as groundbreaking. And then, poof, we're all supposed to believe that fracking has been solved. There's nothing to worry about. It is far too dangerous to be regulated safely.
The state would still need to go through a formal rulemaking process before the new methane rule could be put in place. It's estimated to cost companies about $30 million per year to enforce. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Meanwhile, a rural oil and gas industry group is reserving judgment on the new proposed rules. The West Slope Colorado Oil and Gas Association says the rules may not pose major changes for some companies, but regulators still have to keep certain things in mind before finalizing them. Aspen Public Radio's Elise Thatcher has more.
The new regulations are just a proposal at this point. The public still gets to weigh in before they're finalized. And during that stretch, the West Slope Colorado Oil and Gas Association plans to urge state health officials to keep something in mind. David Ludlum is the group's executive director.
Rural development that occurs sometimes hundreds of miles away from a metropolitan area is a much different type of operation than what you'd find in the heart of a municipality or in, you know, the Front Range development scenario.
At the same time, Ludlum says the new rules may not mean huge changes for some operators because the regulations may overlap with what some companies are already doing.
One of them is leak detection, you know, using infrared equipment. That's something that many of our operators have been doing for the better part of a decade.
As of Monday night, at least one environmental group in the Roaring Fork Valley area was deciding how to respond to the proposed rules. For now, the West Slope Colorado Oil and Gas Association is reserving judgment until the regulations are closer to being finished. For now, Ludlum says the industry has taken steps on its own to cut down on air pollution.
If the goal is to have cleaner air, reduced CO2 and methane emissions, we're well on our way to that goal.
Now the Colorado Health Department will decide whether it agrees or if more needs to be done to protect residents from methane emissions.
That was Elise Thatcher for Rocky Mountain Community Radio. Delta County's median income of about $42,000 a year for a family of four ranks in the bottom third of the state. Housing Authority Director Joe Rosenquist told commissioners on Monday that affordable housing is an issue for many county residents and demand continues to rise. KVNF's Marty Durlin has more.
Rosenquist told commissioners Monday that the county needs 200 more affordable housing units over the next 10 years. To make a dent in that number, she asked the commissioners to chip in to a big housing project.
So I'm here today to ask the county to be a partner with me in this $6.5 million economic stimulus package I'm bringing to Delta County.
And our portion of the $6.5 million is?
I'm asking for $25,000.
The county's contribution is less than 0.04% of the total cost, while the big funding comes from the Colorado Housing and Finance Authority, known as CHAFA, which has already underwritten the construction of 48 units on an 8-acre plot in Delta. The 32 new units will be built on the same land with 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom apartments. Called the Villa at the Bluffs, the project's initial success led to the funding of Phase 2, according to Rosenquist.
Was completed in 2009, Phase 1. We leased up in the first 60 days, and we've stayed at 100% occupancy. Washer, dryer, stove, refrigerator, microwave, dishwasher, garbage disposal. Nicest place you can live in Delta.
The construction of these affordable units is underwritten by investors in exchange for tax credits. Rosenquist says the Housing Authority will likely partner with Wells Fargo in the new venture. Similarly financed projects include Creek Vista in Paonia, with 20 apartments for seniors, and Delta's Alta Vista, which provides housing for farm workers. The Housing Authority uses income as a basis for determining the tenant's share of rent, with a certain percentage of higher rents required to break even. Rosenquist, who also administers the federally funded Section 8 program, says the county has held 226 Section 8 vouchers since 1976. That program allows her to make deals with local landlords, subsidizing the rent tenants can afford. But that's getting harder.
And it's interesting to me that our landlords continue to raise their rents when our economy has taken such a digger. We've started doing something in the last 2 years where I've asked my staff to try and negotiate with landlords for Section 8 properties. Because just because you have a property that, you know, you write into your lease you want to increase the rent every year, it doesn't mean that it's justified. What's happening is that our private landlords are pricing themselves out of the Section 8 market because their rents are just too high for people to qualify.
The commissioners praised Rosenquist for her work and she gave herself a pat on the back.
You've done well. Good job.
We have managed it well.
For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
The new unit should be ready by June 2015. There are already 38 families on the waiting list. And finally this morning, figures released yesterday show just over 53,000 Coloradans have enrolled in health insurance under the state's new online health exchange known as Connect for Health Colorado. Around 47,000 of those individuals signed up for the expansion of Medicaid brought on by the Affordable Care Act. Meanwhile, around 71,000 residents in the state have signed up for accounts on the new online exchange. According to the Denver Post, the state of Colorado hopes to have around 135,000 people enrolled in the exchange through next year. Thus concludes this morning's newscast. For KVNF News, this is Brian Cambria.